Of course, they would like to redirect us to talk about problems in our own societies. Our societies are the only ones that are ever supposed to be criticized. You know, you're not supposed to talk about them. You're not supposed to talk about the West. You're not supposed to focus on Western wrongdoing. Acceptable discussion only includes praising them and denigrating and berating us. That's what's allowed. So, of course, they want to divert us from talking about colonization and occupation and genocide to instead talking about, you know, goat life or what have you. You know, the kafala system, migrant workers in the GCC or whatever. Always attack your own people, attack your own countries, attack your own governments. That's always welcome. And if we do talk about Western crimes, according to their logic, that in order to be fair, we should also talk about wrongdoing in the Muslim world. Otherwise, we're being biased. Like, it makes sense to them. If we're going to talk about how Jeffrey Dahmer was a serial killer who used to chop up his victims and eat them, then for the sake of fairness, we should also talk about the fact that maybe some of his victims used to eat junk food. This makes sense to them. I mean, you do realize that if we do talk about problems in the Muslim world as part of a so-called balanced conversation when we talk about Western crimes, this is only going to magnify how unbalanced the comparison actually is, how disproportionately atrocious the West is as compared to anything that you could criticize about the West's victims. I mean, this is the epitome of false equivalence. It's like saying that there are casualties on both sides of the Gaza conflict or any such dishonest obfuscation. And I think if it's not deliberate, malicious deflection, then it is symptomatic of the West's disingenuous approach to so-called free speech. The way they use free speech as a rationale for juxtaposing rational thought with irrational thought, intelligence with idiocy, because everyone should have a voice. And they use a very calculated formula, actually, in popular media, in like mainstream news and so on, that is literally designed to disorient you. You know, there'll be some story of a horrific tragedy immediately followed by a celebrity gossip story, which will then be followed by a story about famine, which will then be followed by a story about, you know, fluffy puppies on a water slide. Subconsciously, this undermines your intellectual ability to even discern the relative importance or gravity of pieces of information, which is why your society minimizes monstrosities and maximizes trivialities all the time. So you'll easily be distracted, you'll be easily confused, you'll be easily sidelined, easily redirected and misdirected and disconnected from reality. You've lost any sense of proportion. Your sense of judgment floats in zero gravity, where a mountain weighs the same as a grain of sand. And what you don't understand, if you're doing this out of innocent ignorance and not with malicious intention of deliberately obfuscating your society's evil, if you're doing it innocently, what you don't understand is that you are helping the most savage, violent, psychopathic power structure in the world to evade accountability. When you direct your attention to the comparatively minor, comparatively mundane, and usually anomalistic examples of wrongdoing in the Muslim world or in the Arab world or what have you, and you try to suggest that these examples deserve anything like the same attention and the same concern as the mass murder of tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children and babies in Gaza being committed by the United States by means of Israel, well, then you're complicit, in my opinion. You're acting knowingly or unknowingly as an agent for the U.S. and the Zionists. And wallahi, you're helping them to minimize the gravity of their crimes and trivializing the barbarity of their actions. And you're participating, again, knowingly or unknowingly, in an absolutely contemptible campaign to deceive, corrupt, and degrade people's moral judgment. I mean, not only are whatever instances of wrongdoing that you might point to in the Muslim world minuscule by comparison, and generally the types of things that Westerners talk about or point out in the Muslim world, they're things that are done by individuals, you know, or non-state actors, militant groups, or what have you, which have anyway been created, trained, and funded, and planted by the West themselves, or else they're talking about cultural practices that don't reflect Islamic law and don't even reflect the laws of the countries where those examples might take place. The instances of wrongdoing in the Muslim community are no more representative of us than your instances of good doing are representative of you. both are anomalies. Because you do wrong on a policy level, on an official level. You commit crimes on the state level. And your whole society, your whole culture, your whole popular entertainment, and your media all glorify your wrongdoing. Both quantitatively and qualitatively, there's no comparison. I mean, you may find an oppressive Muslim here and there, an extremist here and there, but you're oppressive on a global scale, and your society is defined by its extremism. You're extreme in your violence. You're extreme in your celebration of your violence. You're extreme in your perversion, extreme in your addiction, extreme in your predation, extreme in your greed, extreme in your racism. You're extreme in your arrogance and your Western supremacism and white supremacism. You're extreme in your hypocrisy. And like I said, you do this on the state level, on the level of society-wide behavior and beliefs. Your government, your national militaries, your official intelligence agencies, your biggest companies and corporations are all participating in this. Your wrongs are not aberrations. They're not exceptions. They are continuous, consistent, characteristic, and catastrophic. And it is so definitive of who you are as a so-called civilization that it's predictable. So no, I'm not going to help you minimize or distract or evade or deflect from your monstrous crimes by talking about our own mundane issues. Our issues anyway are none of your business. But your issues are our business because you are the biggest issue that we have. And you made it that way. You don't get to complain about it when people around the world criticize America as if it's none of their business when you have imposed America on the whole world. You made it this way. We can't talk about our countries without talking about you. Because you're interfering and intervening and intruding in our countries. We're not doing that to you. So when we talk about you, we're talking about our own situation because you are disproportionately involved in our own situation, in everyone's situation, actually. Like I said, it's completely misleading and false to equate in severity any problems within the Muslim societies to the problems that you cause in the world and in Muslim societies. We all just watched the videos of Palestinian refugees being bombed in their tents. You blow up schools, you blow up hospitals, you blow up clinics, you blow up people's homes, and then blow up the tents that they're sheltering in because you blew up their homes. You rape detainees with broomsticks and you celebrate it, and you demand the right to be able to torture and rape people. And you applaud the torturers and the rapists on morning television shows. You declare your intention to take over other people's lands, other countries, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. You, your Israeli contingent, the Jewish Brigade of Western Imperialism, because that's what they are, they're you and you're them, everything that the Israelis are doing, everything that the Zionists are doing, that's you. You're the ones doing that. You're doing all of that. Attacking like six different countries at the same time in full-blown psychotic criminal aggression. Attacking the United Nations staff, United Nations troops, literally attacking peacekeeping troops. And no matter how flagrant a crime against humanity that you commit, no matter what a blatant, unspeakable war crime that Israel commits on camera, in broad daylight, in front of the whole world, your only response is to give them more weapons and more money. Please explain to me how you're not monstrous. Netanyahu should be in jail. Gallant should be in jail. Smotrich should be in jail. Ben-Gavir should be in jail. Biden should be in jail. Harris should be in jail. Every minute that these war criminals are on the loose is the collective West and America declaring to the world that they're an outlaw society and they do not believe even slightly in the rule of law. And you're a menace to the planet. And then you're going to say, well, what about women in Iran? Right? Women in Iran being arrested if they remove the headscarf. Are you out of your mind? Did you hear what I just said? Bombing men, women, children, and babies in tents versus a different criteria for what constitutes public indecency. Are you seriously equating these things? Is that how morally confused you are? Or is it just that, yes, the most heinous crime that anyone can ever possibly commit in your eyes is just being different from you? Like thinking legally a woman should cover her head in public not just her breasts. Like, in the U.S., a woman will also get arrested for being uncovered, but it only applies to her breasts. So we're literally actually only at odds with regards to the area of coverage that's required, not the issue of coverage itself. And that difference is enough for you to think that it is of equal importance and severity as war crimes, bombing, torture, rape, and mass murder. So yeah, let's talk about the wrongs in the Muslim world, right? Wallahi, this is demented. People need permission from their employers to change jobs in the Gulf if they have not completed their current work contract. Oh, that's a catastrophic injustice, and we must speak out against it. Meanwhile, Americans in IDF uniforms are gang-raping detainees and blowing up residential city blocks in Lebanon versus the GCC makes foreign workers do paperwork. Are you serious? Oh, women get catcalled in Egypt versus a woman is assaulted every 3 seconds in America. And America is the sex trafficking center of the world. Do you see how insidious it is to try to compare these things? To act like there's some equity between them? No, morality requires discernment and prioritization. You have to be able to actually gauge degrees of severity. Otherwise, you're just a moral relativist. Practically speaking, you're a relativist. Vaporizing families in refugee camps is bad. Also, littering is bad. People who do either one of these things are bad people and deserve equal condemnation. This is a mockery of morality. While pretending that you want to address all injustices, you're only mocking justice itself if you treat all injustice equally. Like if your soup is cold when the waiter brings it to you, is that an injustice? So is that the same then as if you shoot the waiter in the face? No. Standing up for justice includes standing up for distinguishing bad from worse. All injustices are not equal. All crimes are not equal. And there is nothing that anyone is doing anywhere that even approaches the crimes and the injustice of the West, neither in scale nor in severity. Prioritizing opposition to the West's catastrophic injustices does not mean ignoring anything and everything that's less than that. It's simply a rational recognition that they are less than that. But furthermore, I would say that and I've said this before, solidarity and unity are obligatory. We're concerned with economic sovereignty, political independence, and psychological decolonization for the Muslims and for the Global South more broadly. All the peoples of the world who have suffered colonization, exploitation, subjugation, and domination by the West. And this is a confrontation. So we need to close ranks. Circle the wagons and stand shoulder to shoulder as a single solitary structure in this confrontation and not allow ourselves to be turned against each other, not allow ourselves to denigrate each other, tear each other down, and do the work of our enemies by turning our attention away from them and turning it against ourselves. Between ourselves, we have to be compassionate, we have to be pardoning, and we have to be encouraging and supportive. Any criticism must be constructive criticism with genuinely brotherly intent, with the intention to solidify and strengthen our ranks, reinforcing, optimistic, with goodwill. Yes, hypocrites pose a problem, but the hypocrites expose themselves the moment they do the opposite of what I just talked about. The surest sign of hypocrisy is when someone is literally doing the enemy's job by trying to tear down the Muslims, trying to sow division and animosity between the believers, and trying to undermine our solidarity. The moment they try to turn our attention away from the ones that we are confronting and being confronted by, the ones who are bombing us and killing us and torturing us and subjugating our nations, the moment they want to turn our attention away from them, well, you know whose side they're on. And what you need to do is ignore them. Turn away from them, put them on mute, and move on. There's no need for debates, there's no need for arguments or engagement of any kind. You shut them out to shut them down. Because look, wallahi, I honestly believe that we're experiencing something like a Badr moment for our ummah. You know how the chiefs of the enemies of Islam, the elite of the kuffar, all assembled at Badr, and Rasulullah said, "This is Quraysh. They have come in their arrogance and in their pride to protect their caravan." Well, that's America, and Israel is the caravan that they're protecting. They're pouring in their billions into this. They're staking their credibility on this. They're pinning their hopes on this. They know that their future as a global power depends on this sinking aircraft carrier known as Israel, and they're going for broke. And they're taking the whole collective West with them. They're trying to make all of their so-called allies co-sign on their atrocities, on their crimes, on their savagery, on their undermining and sabotaging and defiance of international law, of the United Nations, of every norm and standard of international relations. They're trying to get everyone to go along with that. Everything that they're doing to try to salvage their power, trying to salvage their influence, salvage their image, is doing nothing but destroy it. We're watching America and the collective West having a full-blown meltdown in the Middle East, and they're so far gone that they can't even see what they're doing. You know, Blinken came back from Riyadh last week and called Mohammed bin Salman a spoiled child. Meanwhile, your boy, Netanyahu, is saying Gaza is mine, Lebanon is mine, Syria is mine, Iraq is mine, Jordan is mine, Saudi Arabia and Egypt are mine, it's all mine. Even saying we should rape the Irish UN peacekeepers. Maybe we should even invade Ireland. No one can tell us what to do. International law isn't the boss of me, but bin Salman is the spoiled child. Everyone can see you. Everyone can hear you. You're putting your psychopathic God complex on display right in the open in front of everybody. It's like somebody told you that the toilet is a safety deposit box and you lock it by flushing. You're flushing your whole so-called civilization, all your prestige, all your power, right down the toilet, and you think that you're protecting it. This is what we're seeing. They think that Israel is their new Alamo. It's Little Bighorn, Custer's last stand. See, you have to understand American thinking, their myths, and so on. They know on some level that they're going to lose, but they think that there's something heroic or something noble in taking suicidal stands for the sake of American colonial supremacy. All the countries of the global south, all of BRICS, everyone is on the side of the Palestinians, on the side of international law, on the side of humanity. All of the countries that represent the future of the global economy. This is not going to go well. This is not going to turn out well for America. There's no realistic question about that. Because you see, there's a day after. There's a week later. There's time moving forward. The dust settles. The toll is tabulated. And everything that you're doing now will be judged. You're caught up in the momentum of your own death spiral. Your Zionist colonial project is drowning and flailing in the water, and they're going to pull you down with them. Because they're not actually drowning. They're tangled up in the chain of an anchor that's pulling them into the depths of oblivion. And that anchor is their racist, supremacist, colonizer philosophy. And America and Israel think that they can swim up faster than that anchor can pull them down, but they can't. You have to detach yourselves from that philosophy if you want to stay afloat, but they can't do that either. So all the violence, all the carnage, all the horrors that we're seeing, we have to try to understand that in context, not just in the context of this moment, and not even just in the context of history, but in the context of the future. Try to look at what's going on today as if you're looking back on it. All of the violence is just like the wild splashing of a drowning man, and eventually that splashing and that flailing will stop, and we all know what it means when it stops. It means you're down for the count. You're drowning in the blood of your victims, and all of that blood that you're spilling is going to fill your lungs and you won't be able to breathe. They're in a terrible situation of their own making. So sure, I understand why they would like to try to divert attention away from the calamity that they're facing, which is the crumbling edifice of their whole so-called civilization. All of their crimes and their atrocities are on full display. They've always tried to avoid scrutiny, but there's no reason why you and I should help them with that, why you and I should try to help them avoid scrutiny. There's no equivalent to Western savagery, Western tyranny, Western oppression. There's no equivalent today, and there's no equivalent in history. And anyone who tries to suggest that there is, or who tries to redirect our attention away from them, is doing nothing but draw attention to their own dishonesty and their own hypocrisies.